started to cut people open. And when they did, former misconceptions collapsed. In the 16th century, Andreas Vesalius was granted a ready supply of criminals' corpses, allowing him to definitively contradict assumptions about the human anatomy that had been unquestioned for 1,000 years or more. Vesalius's anatomical charts became invaluable, but he couldn't have drawn the charts unless he was first willing to make the cuts. I want to do a similar thing in this book, with a spiritual twist. We're going to cut open numerous marriages, dissect them, find out what's really going on, and then explore how we can gain spiritual meaning, depth, and growth from the challenges that lie within. We're not after simple answers, 3 steps to more intimate communication, 6 steps to a more exciting love life, because this isn't a book that seeks to tell you how to have a happier marriage. This is a book that looks at how we can use the challenges, joys, struggles, and celebrations of marriage to draw closer to God and to grow in Christian character. We're after what Francis de Sales wrote about in the 17th century. Because de Sales was a gifted spiritual director, people often corresponded with him about their spiritual concerns. One woman wrote in great distress, torn because she wanted to get married, while a friend was encouraging her to remain single, insisting it would be more holy for her to care for her father and then devote herself as a celibate to God after her father died. De Sales put the troubled young woman at ease, telling her that far from being a compromise, in one sense, marriage might be the toughest ministry she could ever undertake. Quote, "The state of marriage is one that requires more virtue and constancy than any other. It is a perpetual exercise of mortification. In spite of the bitter nature of its juice, you may be able to draw and make the honey of a holy life." End quote. Notice that de Sales talks about the occasionally bitter nature of marriage's juice. To spiritually benefit from marriage, we have to be honest. We have to look at our disappointments, own up to our ugly attitudes, and confront our selfishness. We also have to rid ourselves of the notion that the difficulties of marriage can be overcome if we simply pray harder or learn a few simple principles. Most of us have discovered that these simple steps work only on a superficial level. Why? Because there's a deeper question that needs to be addressed beyond how we can improve our marriage. What if God didn't design marriage to be easier? What if God had an end in mind that went beyond our happiness, our comfort, and our desire to be infatuated and happy, as if the world were a perfect place? What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? What if, as de Sales hints, we were to accept the bitter juice because out of it we may learn to draw the resources we need with which to make the honey of a holy life? This isn't to suggest that happiness and holiness are contradictory. On the contrary, I believe we'll live the happiest, most joy-filled lives when we walk in obedience. John Wesley once boldly proclaimed that it is not possible for a man to be happy who is not also holy. And the way he explains it makes much sense. Who can be truly happy while filled with anger, rage, and malice? Who can be happy while nursing resentment or envy? Who can be honestly happy while caught in the sticky compulsion of an insatiable lust or incessant materialism? The glutton may enjoy his food, but he does not enjoy his condition. So we're not anti-happiness. That would be silly. The problem I'm trying to address is that a happy marriage, defined romantically and in terms of pleasant feelings, is too often the end game of most marriage books, even Christian marriage books. This is a false promise. You won't find happiness at the end of a road named selfishness. This is a book that looks and points beyond marriage. Spiritual growth is the main theme. Marriage is simply the context. Just as celibates use abstinence and religious hermits use isolation, so we can use marriage for the same purpose, to grow in our service, obedience, character, pursuit, and love of God. For centuries, Christian spirituality was virtually synonymous with celibate spirituality. That is, even married people thought we had to become like monks and nuns to grow in the Lord. We'd have to do the same spiritual exercises best performed by single people. Long periods of prayer that don't allow for child-rearing or marital discussion. Seasons of fasting that make preparing meals difficult for a family. Times of quiet meditation that seem impossible when kids of any age are in the house. Rather than seeing how God could use our marriages to help us grow in character,